This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 435. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners, Gateway 17, which is going to be June 21st to 22nd in Detroit. Well, there's one thing that I just don't get about small business owners is that they pride themselves on the lack of sleep they get. But they don't understand that this lack of sleep is actually hurting their daily performance, and losing sleep really gains them nothing. Here to help is scientist, broadcaster, author, coach, and athlete, Dr. Greg Wells, who has dedicated his career to understanding human performance and how the human body responds to extreme conditions. Greg is the associate professor of kinesiology at the University of Toronto, where he studies elite sports performance. His newest book is called The Ripple Effect: Sleep Better, Eat Better, Move Better, and Think Better. And one of his accomplishments, which I am so impressed by, is that he did the Nana Civic Marathon. It's a 600-mile race north of the Arctic Circle. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm super psyched to talk to you guys.
Now, the Arctic Circle sounds cold, but 600 miles around the Arctic Circle sounds really cold.
Yeah, it was actually 600 miles north, so it was a marathon, a typical marathon, 26 miles, but it was way up there in the northern tip of Baffin Island in Canada, and it was just an amazing spot. And that led to then also going off and doing an 8,000-mile bike ride through Africa a couple years later. So I've done all sorts of crazy stuff around the world.
Wow, that's incredible. So what you've been studying for a lot of years is this whole sleep epidemic, and I see it all the time. Greg, people seem to brag about how much sleep they don't get. I don't get it.
100% agree with you. It's almost like a badge of honor that you're working so hard, you're foregoing sleep, and the research, I believe, is totally clear that if you are not sleeping enough, that you have, I believe, very little chance of reaching your business goals, because if you're not sleeping, you cannot learn. We actually learn when we sleep. We don't learn during the day. We integrate all the information from our days into our brain at night. And then the second half of our sleep, between 4 and 7 hours-ish, is when we actually are creative and problem-solved. So if you want to learn faster, if you want to problem solve, if you want to be more creative, which is essential in today's environment, then sleep has to be a priority for you.
So let's talk about some of these things, because some of the facts that you mentioned to me is incredible. You said sleeping better helps you lose fat. Now, this seems to be a dream that I can just sleep and lose all this weight.
Well, it is part of controlling our body's metabolism. When we sleep, we regulate two critical hormones, leptin and ghrelin, and those two hormones regulate our appetite and our satiety, how full we feel after we eat. So if you want to eat healthier, and we get our energy from the food that we eat, if we eat crap food, if we eat bad food, you're not going to have the energy you need to do your work. Then sleeping well enables you to make the right decisions during the day about the types of food you need to be eating to perform at your absolute best.
And so how much sleep do we need to get? There's this old thing that when you're younger, you need more sleep. When you're older, you don't need quite much sleep. Or is that just an old wives' tale?
No, it's 100% true. If you sort of, I've got two little kids. My 2-year-old sleeps a ton. My 7-year-old sleeps a little bit less. Teenagers sleep a little bit less. And then we as adults sleep a little bit less. So what the research shows is that if you want to live the longest possible life, because sleep is related to your lifespan, you need to be getting between 7 and 8 hours. And that for me is 5 complete 90-minute sleep cycles. So that's that magical 7.5 hours that seems to enable me to recover completely. You might be a little bit less, might be 6, might be 1 extra sleep cycle, maybe 9, but anything less than 6 hours a night and you have an increased risk of all-cause mortality. So bare minimum 6, ideally between 7 and 8.
All right, so I'm asking this next question really for my wife, because I love to nap on Saturday afternoon. Is napping healthy or not?
So good for you. All the research shows that napping improves mental performance, improves physical performance, and is great for your health. But there's two options when it comes to napping. The first option is the 20-minute power nap, which is amazing for you if you just need to get a little bit of an energy burst during the week. Just set an alarm for 20 minutes. That way you don't drop into deep sleep, because if you wake up out of deep sleep, then you're going to feel horrible for hours. You probably felt this when you had a nap and you wake up and you're sluggish. The second option for you is the full 75 to 90 minute complete nap. And that way, you, for that one, you just wake up naturally. That's your Saturday afternoon, crash on the couch, or Sunday afternoon, sleep in front of the football game. So those are your two options, the 20 minute power nap where you wake up with an alarm, or the full sleep cycle of 90 minutes where you don't wake up with an alarm.
I tell you, I used to work with my father in a factory when I was in high school, and we used to go out to lunch every single day. And we had about 30 minutes for lunch. We'd have lunch for 10 minutes. My father would take the 20-minute power nap, and he was amazing after he got off from that. I was always so jealous because I can't do that.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, I think that a lot of companies are waking up to the fact that there's a relationship between sleep and performance. If you look at, you know, really progressive companies like Google, for example, they have nap pods where people can go and take a nap. I've worked with a number of different private schools near where I live, and they've put into place some locations where students can go and take a nap, and obviously supervised because you don't want students doing other stuff in, you know, rooms when they're alone. But it's something that we can all use to improve our performance. And I think that people think like, oh, I'm losing time because I'm sleeping. But in fact, what you're doing is you're clearing away a lot of the mental baggage. You're organizing your brain. You're storing memories. You're recovering. You're regenerating. You release growth hormone, which heals every single tissue inside your body. So if you want to be younger, literally the fountain of youth, your skin improves, your muscles improve, your brain improves, and your bones improve. It's really, really important for health and for performance.
We're talking with Dr. Greg Wells. He's author of a book called The Ripple Effect, Sleep Better, Eat Better, Move Better, and Think Better. So what is going on in our society that we're sleeping less? Is it the whole idea with technology and FOMO, fear of missing out?
I think that FOMO for sure. I also think that because, you know, as humans, we evolved, and as every single species on the planet evolved to be awake when the light is out and be asleep when it's dark outside, that's changed because we have these devices now and we have electricity, which allow us to be exposed to light literally 24/7. So what I've been recommending that people do is for an hour before you plan on falling asleep at night, I like people to choose a bedtime. It's almost more important to choose a bedtime than a wake-up time. An hour before that planned fall asleep time, we need to shut our devices off. We need to dim the lights in the house. We need to disconnect from technology. We need to read fiction. We need to take a hot bath. We need to do some meditation. We need to talk to our spouses. Everything that you can do to calm down to enable you to actually fall asleep quickly and deeply. It's almost impossible for the body to go from 1,000 miles an hour that we all race at as entrepreneurs into deep sleep that you need in order to recover and to regenerate.
Now, a lot of small business owners will listen to your advice, Greg, and they'll say, that's great. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I 100% understand that. I'm a small business owner myself, and you know, we're growing very fast. And as an entrepreneur, you're CEO, CFO, CTO, you're everything. And what I would say to the entrepreneurs is that I've truly believe that we need to make a shift from thinking of building businesses as a long-term marathon, as high volume over an extended period of time, to thinking of it as a series of short sprints, world-class performance interspersed with periods of recovery and regeneration. And that's how you can perform, not just for 6 months, not just for a year, but for the many, many years that it takes to build a successful business. So it's just a slightly different approach, a slightly different mind shift, but it will enable you to do so much better, so much more in less time, and ultimately be able to sustain your performance for the years that it takes.
And that's what people don't understand. You know, people have heard me talk about that every 2 or 3 years, oh, I would say for the last 15 years, I've gone on a 3-week vacation with my family somewhere in the world. And during that period of time, I don't work, I don't answer the phone, I don't look at email. And it's hard the first couple of days, but it does rejuvenate me for the next period of time. And people have to understand that downtime is really very productive.
It's extremely productive, and it forces a couple things. The first thing that happens when you take that time away from your business is it forces you to put into place systems that enable other people to work on the business so they work in the business so that you can work on the business. And then the second thing is when you disconnect, when you get away, when you have a chance to put a little bit of space between yourself and the work that you're doing, you can be creative again. You can problem solve. You can come up with new strategies. You cannot do that if you're racing and running around and hammering, you know, on all the urgent things that need to be done on a daily basis. We really need to focus in on the ability to do important work, not urgent work.
I totally agree. Well, Greg, where can people get a copy of the book and get in touch with you and the wonderful work you're doing?
The best place is via my website, which is drgregwells.com, and the book is available on the homepage. Check it out. It's also on Amazon. And if anyone has any questions about high performance in small business, just ping me either through my website or I'm also on LinkedIn. You can check me out there.
Well, Greg, we look forward to your next high performance. What are you going to do now? Go to the Antarctica to do a race, or what's next?
Yeah, I really want to, but I'm going with a buddy of mine, Ray Zahab. He's going to try to run through Angola and Namibia across the Namibian desert in January. So that's going to be 3 or 4 weeks of pretty insane mountain biking and hiking through the desert in southern Africa. So
right,
I'm pretty excited about that one.
Well, I'll watch on the webcam. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Take care, guys. Thank you so much.
Coming up, the secret to forming strong relationships in business is probably one of the keys to your success. We'll talk about that next. It's AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. In Naperville, 75th heading westbound, closed between College and Napier Boulevard. That's closed from an earlier crash. There's also problems on the Kennedy. Heading outbound, they're heavy between Diversey and Belmont with ongoing construction. Right now, the three left lanes are closed. That's between Diversey and Costner. It's 13 minutes downtown to the junction, 23 to O'Hare. And also the express lanes are closed between the junction and Ohio Street. And that continues until 8 a.m. later on this morning. This report is sponsored by Ace. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. It's also your neighborhood place for craftsmen, the most trusted name in tools. They're here to help you find the best craftsman power and hand tools, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, storage chests, toolboxes, and more. At Ace, the helpful place. Tonight, 69 in thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 79 and cloudy. Currently, 75. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
New York's public theater, in a rendition of Julius Caesar, they used Trump as Caesar.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
That's what they think the audience members want to see. Donald Trump being portrayed as Julius Caesar and getting murdered.
New York's public theater admitted it was intended to shock, to spark conversation.
What's the difference between that and what Kathy Griffin did?
I thought you're going to give people an elevated experience by putting on good work. And this is boring.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of the book.
Gatto Industrial Platers, Inc. is the specialist in zinc and zinc nickel plating. Gatto is big, they're good, and they're easy to work with. Their high-production rack plating line has up to a 15-foot capacity to handle any zinc plating requirement. Gatto's 210,000-square-foot facility can process 300 tons per day and offers complete custom packaging with available pickup and delivery in the Chicago metro area by Gatto's own fleet of trucks. All of Gatto's products are inspected and certified to ensure that each customer is receiving the best and most cost-effective plating protection. Gatto is home to King Kong, the largest zinc plating line in North America that can zinc plate parts up to 27 feet long and weighing up to 8,000 pounds. For a quote and fast 24 to 48-hour service, call George Gatto Jr. or George Gatto Sr. at 1-800-290-1223. That's 1-800-290-1223. 1-800-290-1223.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, it's a common saying that people buy from who they know, like, and trust. Forming a strong relationship in business is probably one of the keys to success. talk about how you achieve this is Michael Papanek, who's the author of From Breakdown to Breakthrough. He has over 30 years of expertise leading successful large-scale initiatives and increasing the performance of people and organizations in complex and competitive markets. Michael, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Barry.
So what does a strong relationship look like in business?
Well, we talk about a resilient relationship, and the key is that you need your relationships in business are really your most important assets. And for them to be resilient means that they're both strong, flexible, and fair.
And so what does – let's look at each of those words first. What does strong mean?
It means you're creating a lot of value. This is sort of the obvious thing in any business relationship, but the concept is that 1 + 1 = 3. We should be able to create a lot of value. The value should be something that might not be easy to replace, and that is important to both parties.
And does fair mean that both sides get the same out of it?
No, that's an important question that everybody asks. Fair doesn't mean equal. It means equitable. When I work with executives and business leaders, it's not necessary that everybody gets an equal amount. What's important is that the effort you put in and the amount you get out seems reasonable, that we don't have one party or person that's always taking, if you will, and the other party or person that's always giving.
You know, and this really puzzles me, Michael. A lot of the relationships I have is where we seem to have a very strong relationship, but sometimes I don't get what they get out of it. How do I figure that out, or is that not necessary?
No, I think it's important for you to know. Again, we're trying to build business relationships that will handle stress and change. And if I'm not really sure what the other party is getting out of it, then it's hard for me to meet those needs or understand those needs. One of the important things that in this fast pace, social network, email, people don't always even meet the people that they work with. It's important to know that person as a whole person. You don't have to be intimate friends, but you should understand something about why they do what they do. What are their goals? What do they want? What are they trying to avoid? That way you can build the kind of relationship that's a win-win for both parties.
Now, you also talked that relationship has to be flexible, and I think that's where a lot of fear comes into play with a lot of folks' relationships. They don't necessarily want to bend them because they're afraid they're going to break.
Exactly. And so what we call that a tenuous relationship. Your business relationships, the metaphor for me is like trying to sit in a chair. If you've ever had to sit in kind of a rickety chair, you know, it's a little hard to put your weight on. It's almost worse than no chair at all. What you want your relationship to be is solid. You can lean into it. You can count on it. And so that means being able to modify and change as situations change, competitors change, the economy changes, technology changes. So we're always going to have to be able to be flexible, like a bridge that will bend but not break.
But how do you gauge that? Because I think a lot of times people, like, they try to build up little chits or little things you owe me in a relationship, and somewhere along the line they're going to cash it in. Does that mean that's a true, strong relationship, or is that just fiction?
I think it's an interesting question. I think it's fine. You know, the phrase we sometimes think about is you get to give and you give to get. So there does need to be some exchange. Sometimes we do things for each other. But it should never be coercive. At any moment in the relationship, we should be essentially even, meaning we're all getting what we want to get. We're putting in what we want to put in. We can't really kind of build up these chits that then say, I'm now supposed to do something that's not in my best interest or our best interest.
So how do you actually gauge how strong, fair, and flexible any one relationship is to make sure that's resilient?
Well, it's an assessment process. I suggest that executives first understand which are the most important relationships with investors, partners, suppliers, obviously with their employees, of course with their customers, and then look at each one. Ask how much value you're creating, how easy would it be to replace that value, how damaging would it be if you lost that value. That's the strength assessment. Flexibility can often be assessed through change. Try to do something and see what happens. See if you can modify some aspect of the relationship and find out through action learning what the other party is doing. And then fair really has to do with asking the other party, how do you feel about this relationship? If you could choose not to do business with me, would you? And if I could choose not to do business with you, would I? That's going to be a pretty straightforward question that's going to indicate how fair the relationship really is.
And Michael, that would be a very scary question to ask for a lot of people.
Yes. What you need to do is build what we call a container that holds heat. Relationships these days, every company has to innovate faster. Every company has to be bolder, has to be ready for dramatic disruptions. And so we need the kind of relationships where we can talk in a frank and open way about, you know, how strong, how flexible, and how fair it is. If you don't have the ability to discuss that, now, well, when something difficult happens, it's too late to create that. We need to build that relationship and that ability to communicate throughout the relationship. So if something happens, if we make a mistake or something changes for the client, they can already have a frank conversation with us.
But people's relationship, a lot of time, really out of habit, right? And so if you go in and start asking all sorts of questions, maybe you're rocking the boat and it actually can do more harm than good.
That's certainly. I mean, we want to think about and assess how critical the relationship is, and then think about and assess what's the next step to take. If you already have a great relationship, you don't want to go in there and say, hey, I'm worried. That's not the frame. The frame is much more of saying, hey, how can we make sure this is great? How can we make sure it's even better? And often it's only when there is some type of crisis that we realize maybe we need to take this to another level in terms of the way that we can communicate. In that sense, it doesn't have to be such a scary conversation. People need to know why you're bringing it up or why this conversation might be valuable for us to engage in.
So, Michael, let's look at both sides of the equation. Let's say you're in a relationship where you really think you're giving more than you get. How do you address that?
I usually will bring that up. In other words, I found that a values alignment between me and my business partners or other business relationships is really important. I may enter into a relationship where everybody has the best intentions, everybody does their best diligence to make sure there's a proper match and all the normal things that we could do. Even when that happens, sometimes we realize it's not working out the way that we intended. If we reached an agreement on the intention of the relationship, that allows us later to evaluate it against that agreement. And I can say, you know what, here's how this might not be working for me the way that I thought it would.
So now let's look at the other side where, oh, you're in a relationship where you get a lot more than the other party gets it, and you don't understand why they're in a relationship with you, and you're afraid to rock the boat.
Well, again, I don't want to build my business off of coercion or exploitation in any way, right? So I have a leadership brand that affects my own leadership and then my whole business. I want to make sure that brand is one where people realize if they work with me, I care about them succeeding as well. We want our partners to win while we can win at the same time.
So what happens when there's a serious breakdown of a relationship? How do you figure out whether it's fixable or not?
Well, I think you take some chances. So a lot of times people want to talk about talking effectively. You should communicate this. You should discuss that. And I certainly believe in that. But sometimes when we're heading into a breakdown, the best thing we can do is take an action that sends the right message. And I found that an action of generosity, an action of trust, will often inspire the same in the other party. If I take that action, I take a risk with them, or I show generosity to them, they don't respond in kind. Now I've learned through action that this may not be a resilient business relationship. Not every breakdown can be fixed. Part of making sure I have the relationships I want is knowing when I need to end one.
It's interesting you say the act of generosity, Michael, because I think a lot of people think that, well, if they pose threats in a relationship, that will make it stronger.
Yeah, that again is just going to increase the coercion. You know, do unto others, right, is the same golden rule. So I don't want somebody feeling like they're under a threat. You know, things can get heated, and that's when your values matter. When things are easy, your values usually don't come into play. There's no conflict. But when I'm faced with a business situation that's difficult, the last thing I'd want to do is sort of threaten. You know, there is that whole model of negotiation. I don't buy into that. I believe in principled negotiation. It actually doesn't even matter how the other party wants to play it. I know what my values are, and I'm going to make my choices based on that.
Some good advice. Michael Papernek, thanks for joining the show. He's the author of the book From Breakdown to Breakthrough. Coming up next, there's so much data that is now available to small business about their customer to grow your business, but no one ever looks at it. Next, the easiest way to collect it and actually understand it. This is AM 560 The Answer. Right back.
Larry Elder believes Muslim leaders have a tough road ahead.
You look at the Quran, non-believers are given three options. You can convert, you can pay a tax as a second-class citizen, or you can be killed. Pick one. It seems to me that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed by Muslim leaders and Muslims in general in the world. I don't know how we have a conversation where there's compatibility between Western values and people that subscribe to the tenets of Islam.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. The U.S. Navy no longer searching for 7 sailors missing from the USS Fitzgerald.
We've discontinued the search and rescue. We have found a number of them. I'm not going to go into the number.
Vice Admiral Joe Aucoin, commander of the 7th Fleet. Divers found some sailors dead in flooded sections of the destroyer that was struck by a cargo ship.
To how much warning they had, I don't know. That's going to be found out during the investigation.
The Fitzgerald's back in port in Japan. 3 of the injured crew are in the hospital. Doctors upgrade Congressman Steve Scalise to serious from critical condition. A gunman shot the Louisiana Republican on a baseball field in Virginia last week. And the number of people killed as a forest fire rages in Portugal rises to at least 57. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Inbound Dan Ryan at 75th. Watch out for a report of crash. The two right lanes are being blocked. And also on the outbound Kennedy, it's heavy between Diversey and Belmont with ongoing construction. Downtown to the junction 13 to O'Hare 23. Express lanes remain closed until 8 a.m. This report is sponsored by Ace. Ace is a place with the helpful hardware folks. It's also your neighborhood place for Craftsman, the most trusted name in tools. They're here to help you find the best Craftsman power and hand tools, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, storage chests, toolboxes, and more. At Ace, the helpful place. Looking at temperatures starting with tonight, it should be around 69 degrees with thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 79 and partly cloudy. Currently, it is 75 degrees out and still a little cloudy out there as well. Next update now in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a 2-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend, but you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Are you in the dark? Does your site need light? The pros at ProBuilt Professional Lighting have exactly what you need. They're the creators of the only self-writing job site light available in the market. The wobble light. You can hit it, run into it, knock it over, and it still won't stay down due to its patented self-writing technology. It's portable and virtually indestructible. This industrial work light is ideal for applications requiring temporary high-output lighting for construction, manufacturing, utility, and much more. With 5 professional brands, ProBuilt focuses solely on providing lighting solutions for the professional trades. ProBuilt doesn't think of it as an accessory, but as a necessity for every job site. And they're committed to combining rugged performance with the benefits of the latest LED technology. If you're in an industry that requires professional-grade portable lighting, turn to Chicago's very own ProBuilt Professional Lighting. To find out more or get in touch, visit ProBuiltLighting.com. That's ProBuiltLighting.com. ProBuilt Professional Lighting, designed for the pros.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, there's so much data that is now available small business about their customers that can help them actually grow their companies. The problem is that most owners don't know how to use it. Here to help is Jeff Deal, who's the co-author of a book called Mining Your Own Business, a primer for executives on understanding and employing data mining and predictive analytics. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's very good to speak with you.
So this reminds me of like being on the ocean, right? And there's water everywhere, not a drop to drink. And I think the same way about data. There's data everywhere, but no one's using it. How come?
Well, I think I'll challenge you first and say there is a lot of success with data out there, but it is a huge challenge, and a lot of people are struggling. I think a lot of companies thought it was something they could jump into and pick up pretty quickly or easily, and are finding that it is a huge challenge in many different ways.
Yeah, I want to say that no one's using it, but I think it's especially a challenge for our listeners who's the small business owner. They really don't know where to start with analytics. What advice do you have for them?
The advice I have is to, first, don't think you're going to get it all figured out by yourself, or you're going to need to have a full understanding of how to do it before you started, but you need to have some knowledge about what is involved, not just in doing the analytics, but in managing analytics project or program. And that's really where this book is focused. We don't teach people how to do the analytics. We focus more on what is involved in starting or expanding an analytics service and succeeding with an analytics service.
And so how do you choose an analytics service? Is it based on what they specialize in? Is it based on the kind of tools they use, or do you have to pick someone who's in your industry?
It really varies company to company. And, you know, part of the problem is people think there is an analytics unicorn out there, that there is one program or one person that just does it all, and if you just identify that person or that software program, you can do it. It really takes a larger understanding of what analytics is. There are different types of analytics. We have a list of the 10 levels of analytics that we've developed. And understanding what you want to accomplish, and then focusing on what type of analytics will it take to solve that problem or to do what I want to do, and what kind of person do I need? Do I need to buy software, or can I use open source software? So it's just gaining that foundational information about what analytics is and not jumping in until you have some basic knowledge under your belt.
So, Jeff, where do you think the first focus of any analytics project should be for a small business?
I think the first focus should be assessing your own organization, and do you have the corporate culture and the leadership in place to use analytics? A common problem we see is that one person in an organization gets excited about analytics, he or she pushes it and maybe gets started, but then quickly finds out that buy-in from others within the organization is needed. And if that buy-in is not developed in advance and you don't have a corporate culture that says, yeah, this is going to change the way we do things, but we're ready to do it, you're not going to succeed. You need to have that understanding of what you want to do and have the corporate willpower, really, to push it through, not just to start. We see so many people start and so many people not succeed because they don't really know what it's going to take to put their solution into operation, to begin to draw value from a program or a model that they've developed. So it's so much more than just the basic science. It is involves much more the organization and getting that organizational buy-in.
So, Jeff, I guess that the last minute we have, that really does beg the question, what does it really take to be successful with analytics?
If I had to narrow it down to one answer, I would say organizational leadership. You need someone who is going to manage that program and shepherd it through the process. That person doesn't need to know the science. They don't need to know how to do everything, but they need to know how to evaluate the problem, how to evaluate what kind of staff are going to be needed, how it's going to be approached. And again, the biggest question, how are you going to use the information? Analytics is a disruptive technology. It forces, if you're going to succeed with it, an organization to often change the way it does things, how it makes decisions. And so that you need that corporate leadership to guide it through the process, bring the right people on board, and make sure that the groundwork is laid before you even take the first step in forming the program.
And don't ask the questions unless you want to hear what the answers are. Jeff, thanks for being on the show. The title of the book is called Mining Your Own Business, a primer for executives on understanding and employing data mining and predictive analytics. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, where will the next Elon Musk or Arianna Huffington come from? We're going to find out. This is AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos. We'll look at the roadways. 80 westbound slows between the Minooka Interchange and Minooka Road. It's all slow because of a rollover crash, and it has the left lane blocked. Also on the Kennedy, if you're heading outbound, heavy between Diversey and Belmont with ongoing construction. Downtown to the junction is 13. To O'Hare 23, express lanes are closed until 8 a.m. later on this morning. And the Dan Ryan, if you're heading inbound at 75th, there's a report of a crash that's been reported in that area. Also on the Tri-State, heading southbound between Calsag Bridge and Kedzie, there's road construction. Right lane remains closed until 7 a.m. on Monday morning. Now taking a look at the current temperature, starting with tonight, 69 with thunderstorms. Tomorrow should be around 79 degrees and partly cloudy. Currently it is 75 degrees out, still a little cloudy as well. Next update now in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a two-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend, but you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I always wonder, where will the next generation of business leaders like Elon Musk, Sergey Brin, Arianna Huffington come from? Well, if my next guest has any view on it, she's betting it's going to be on the Caribbean and Black entrepreneurs in the U.S. Felicia Hatcher is the White House award-winning entrepreneur, business rainmaker, best-selling author, global sought-after speaker, media darling, mother and founder of Code Fever and Black Tech Week. Felicia, welcome to the show.
Barry, thank you so much for having
me. Well, you are a lot of things.
I am.
So why do you
believe... Me and the team.
Exactly. So why do you believe that the next Elon Musk will really come from Caribbean and Black entrepreneurs in the U.S.?
Well, I mean, if you've looked at the kind of the story of entrepreneurial success over the past few years, you know, it's 51% of kind of like the unicorn startups in the U.S. are from immigrant descent, either first generation or coming from immigrant parents. And so that trend is not going to go in the other direction. It's going to continue. But that also means really investing in this infrastructure and support for minority and immigrant entrepreneurs in the United States.
And so why do you think that 51% of these unicorn startups really come from an immigrant founder? Is because they have it tougher? They have more to prove?
I think it's definitely a combination of what you said. But then if you look at kind of the job market in other countries outside of the U.S., entrepreneurship is more out of necessity, right? Because the jobs aren't readily there. Students are graduating from schools and the opportunities aren't there like they are here in the United States. My mom is Jamaican. I spent a lot of time there. And, like, you go across the street and there's someone that has, like, a bar in front of their house, or they're doing all these random things in order to make a living because the job opportunities just aren't there. So entrepreneurship and that entrepreneurial spirit is kind of bred out of necessity.
Yeah, I've really studied, when I did my second book called Bounds, I studied a lot of entrepreneurs all around the world, and I found that they really do it because there's no other choice. If you want to make a living, you've got to start your own thing.
Correct. So, you know, and here you have it. Entrepreneurship is, for a long time, it was an option, right? It's like, it was that risky thing that you did and you were that outlier because we kind of pushed people towards the job market. And during the economic downturn, I think we really saw that big push of students graduating. And they're like, holy cow, there isn't a job at the end of this four-year rainbow for me. So I have to figure this out. I have to develop a side hustle. I have to be more sustainable, or I need to jump into this kind of like startup bandwagon and hopefully have the returns of an Elon Musk or a Mark Zuckerberg or the like. And so I think the immigrant plight is a little bit different coming into a new country, not necessarily knowing the lay of the land and having to really depend on the same kind of survival mechanisms that you did in your home country. But a lot of innovation is coming out of that too, right? Because a lot innovation at the end of the day is solving problems. And if you can solve problems from dealing with just like living day to day, you can solve problems that will really help solve some of the major issues from a technology standpoint within our country.
And I love what you're doing, Felicia, because you're actually putting your money where your mouth is. You started something called Code Fever to actually help these folks. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we started Code Fever 4 years ago in Miami for exactly the same thing that we've been talking about, Barry, helping diversify the startup and innovation economy in the Miami and South Florida area from a training standpoint. So we were a coding and startup boot camp for young African-American students and Caribbean students and their parents, and quickly turned into an economic development and an inclusive innovation organization, better supporting them. So, like, for me, I'm like, all right, everyone keeps talking about the diversity and inclusion issues with our technology companies, with our startup ecosystems, but let's like, put our money where our mouth is and our action where our mouth is and actually do something about that. So that's where that came from. That's where our huge national conference, Black Tech Week, came from. But even most recently, our venture capitalist and residence program of we understand how awful the numbers are from hiring, but we don't, very rarely talk about the support that entrepreneurs need, especially around funding. And so when we have such abysmal numbers in minority access to jobs, we don't even talk about the access to funding and the number of Black and brown VCs that exist in the space to support those entrepreneurs that look just like them. So we started our VC in residence program in order to address that need. Access is a huge problem, right? So we know most times when we're trying to get in front of an investor, we need someone that they trust to make that introduction. But what if you don't play in those lanes or play in those circles? You have no one to make that introduction. And most times you never get that introduction or that sit down or that deal from that investor. And so we develop programs to help specifically to that from the access and the funding standpoint by hosting Marlon Nichols from Cross Culture Ventures, formerly with Intel Capital, in Miami for a residency for the entire month to meet with Black and Hispanic and Caribbean entrepreneurs to help them get that access and potentially get the funding.
So with the minute we have left, Felicia, tell us about one of the results that you've had as what you've been doing in this area.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the companies that I love the most is Junior Alexis with Direct Dispatch. He's a Haitian entrepreneur based in South Florida that essentially developed the Uber for trucking. He had been in the trucking industry for a while. This is a revenue-generating company that has also been able to raise some significant funding from what he's doing, and Amazon is trying to enter his space. And so for us, it's like, how quickly can we increase the deal flow for him and the resource magnetism for him to catapult what he's doing and not let Amazon, like, gobble him up, but with hopefully the potential to sell his company. Terry Ann is a Jamaican entrepreneur, and she's the CEO of Apollonix, which is also a centralizing platform for dental prosthetics. So a lot of variation within this space where our Caribbean entrepreneurs are absolutely killing it.
Well, Felicia, I really appreciate all the work you're doing and keep going at it. Where can people get in touch with you?
They can easily get in touch with us at blacktechweek.com or codefevermiami.com.
Felicia, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Barry.
Coming up, capital, of course, is one of the biggest needs of entrepreneurs. You can go out and you can earn it. You can go out and borrow it. But we're going to talk about next how you can go out and you can win it. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
If you are or know a veteran who has served in Iraq or Afghanistan since 9/11, Dr. Manis Kraff and the Kraff Eye Institute on Harlem in Chicago are providing free laser vision correction to two qualified veterans every week for 1 year. The Kraff Eye Institute and Dr. Manis Kraff are pioneers and leaders in laser vision correction. They've successfully performed laser vision correction with the Vizx Excimer laser since February of 1991, longer than any other doctors in Chicago. Dr. Manis Kraff was awarded the prestigious AMA Benjamin Rush Medal, awarded to only one physician every year. So if you, a loved one, or a friend have served since 9/11, you're urged to call the Kraff Eye Institute on Harlem in Chicago immediately to schedule an appointment. You could receive free laser vision correction just like hundreds of veterans and 100 club family members already have. Call the Kraff Eye Institute on Harlem at 773-777-4444. 773-777-4444.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, the number one concern for a lot of small businesses is always cash flow and capital. But there's an alternative now. You don't have to go out and earn it. You don't have to go out and borrow it. You can actually go out and win it. Here to help in that area is Chelsea Lees, the Director of Public Relations and Social Media for the UPS Store, a fully owned subsidiary of UPS, provides small business solutions to entrepreneurs and small business owners at 4,500 franchise locations around the U.S. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I love the contest that the UPS Store has. Tell us a little about it and how people can actually win money.
Yeah, absolutely. So this May, as you know, obviously, the SBA hosts their annual Small Business Week, which they've been doing for over 50 years. At the UPS Store, we're always looking for ways to talk to, get involved with small business owners. So we decided to create something really unique and actually go into local cities and host pitch-off competitions where small business owners can compete for a chance to win $5,000 to help fuel their business.
And so what does those pitch-off competitions look like? Because, of course, when you say pitch-off, we're all kind of envisioning Shark Tank.
Absolutely. You know what we found was we did a survey of small business owners, and we found that only 29% of them feel like they have an elevator pitch. So if they were to walk into a room with, you know, Mark Cuban or somebody like that, Marcus Lemonis, would they actually know what to say and how to pitch their business? So we felt like that was a need. And then obviously, as you mentioned previously, one of their biggest struggles or barriers to starting a business is that capital and funding. So if you can't pitch your business, you can't get the money. So what we wanted to do was create an environment where local business owners would be comfortable to come out. We had them come in front of a panel of four judges. We have a rep from the local SBA, typically someone from SCORE. We have a UPS Store local person as well. And the person has 90 seconds to really deliver their best elevator pitch. So we heard some really creative things. And for a lot of people, it was their first time actually getting in front of people and articulating either their idea or what it is they do.
And Chelsea, this isn't actually a skill because I found most small business owners, they don't know what to say in 90 seconds or 60 seconds or 30 seconds. They come up with all this gobbledygook and I say to them, I have no idea what you do. So what is the key to giving a great elevator pitch?
Well, I think you nailed it right there. You have to be concise. You're never going to get 5 minutes. You're going to get 30-second window. So really practicing different versions of your pitch, making sure it's clear what your business is and what need that you're fulfilling. Those are really the critical things that we found from our winners. That's what they were able to do very well.
So for me, my elevator pitch is always, I help small business owners get unstuck. So what's the UPS Store's elevator pitch?
We do everything. We want to be your back office. We make your life easier. You can't do it all on your own. We'll do it for you.
And I've been to the UPS Store many times, and they've helped me out so much. So where can people learn about the UPS Store and learn about these contests you're doing?
The upsstore.com/smallbizsalute. That's where you can find information about the contest. It's obviously over. It's in May. But you can see some of our winners, which we really had some outstanding people come out. Everything from people who have mobile grocery stores to provide food to food deserts in the Kansas City area. We had in Portland Wallflower Systems, which is, I'm sure you've seen those living plant walls that are in all the cool restaurants. So they came up with an idea to actually have a product to take everyday landscape into vertical gardens and living walls for your home. When we were in Denver, we had a person who developed LED lighting for wheelchairs because a big concern of people is being out at night and not having visibility. So really unique businesses out there. I think that was what was the most exciting about it for us.
Well, Chelsea, thanks for joining the show, and thanks, everyone, for joining this week's radio show. I've got to thank our sponsors, Nextiva and Alibaba, and I want to also thank our staff, Sarah Schaffern, Debbie Schreiner, and Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being successful this year, you got to give me a call, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Balance of Nature's fruits and